privilege to be able to come to Jesus with all of our troubles and all of our problems. He is a faithful God, isn't he? He is the good shepherd. He's always there for us. Always. He will never desert us and never leave us. Even as he told Joshua, wherever he goes, the Lord will be with him. All right, on that note, Brother Isaiah, you going to come read Scripture for us? Come on up.
Good morning, everyone. Please turn me to Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign amongst you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there until this day. For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over in the priest in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, and as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priest that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priest that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, then camped Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people on the earth of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever.
All right, Joshua chapter 4. Isaiah read it for us already. We've already jumped in to what's going on here. I have kind of a crude map drawn up here, just to kind of give you an idea of what we've read about the nations, the Canaanite nations, that God has promised to to give to Israel. For this land that they possess belongs to God's people. He has given it to them. So you see, they've come up, if you remember Mount Nebo, Moses stood there on top of Mount Nebo and looked over into the promised land across Jordan. Remember that? He wasn't allowed to enter, but he saw it. He saw it. And so here we have the Jordan River. This is where the event that we are looking at this morning took place, right here. It is basically just across from Jericho. They camped somewhere about halfway between the river and the city of Jericho. And so this is where we're at geographically. All right, in chapter 4. Now we notice, as Isaiah read, that God commanded Joshua to command 12 men out of the 12 tribes, and you remember what they represent. They represent the 12 sons of Israel or of Jacob, remember? This promise has been handed down all the way from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 sons of Jacob who represent this nation of Israel, God's people. And he says in verse 2, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge there. Now, this is what we're going to look at this morning, at least part of the time. These 12 stones. Now, apparently they were pretty good-sized stones because they carried them out of there on their shoulders, we're told. These stones were to be a monument, a memorial. And there's a reason for this memorial. There were they lodged. They stacked up. Joshua stacked up or set up. Verse 9 tells us, Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of Jordan, in the midst, as God commanded him, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And remember, they stood there, we could say all day, however long it took for this entire nation to pass around them and go across Jordan, they stood still. They didn't move. We are told that they were standing on solid ground, aren't we? They stood on solid ground there. Dry ground, because God had dried it up. We noticed last week the implications of the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, standing still in the middle of the Jordan River, and how inside the Ark of the Covenant, along with other things, were the Ten Commandments written on stone. And we've noticed how this Ark of the Covenant being in the middle of the river represented the presence of God. The presence of God. And we saw how this river Jordan that they had camped 3 days and watched. Remember, we talked about that. They looked at this insurpassable, however you say that, river, this object that they couldn't get through on their own for 3 days. And then God delivered them from this river of death, if you will. The presence of God, represented by the Ark of the Covenant containing the Ten Commandments. We talked about who kept the Ten Commandments. Only Jesus Christ. Only Him. Was He present here? Certainly He was. Certainly He was. And so we see, and we saw last week, how Jesus Christ has gone on ahead of us. He has divided the waters. In this case, they stood up in a heap. Out of control waters that couldn't be safely crossed. The exact same way that He has gone on ahead of us and just justified us by His own perfect and pure blood on the cross of Calvary. Now we're able to cross the Jordan into where? The promised land. Even into heaven. From this life into life eternal with God the Father. Why? Because Jesus Christ went on ahead of us and made a way, you see. All through the book, he tells us to follow him. Follow him. All right. This monument of 12 stones was a sign unto Israel. It was to be looked at, gazed upon, thought about in the future. By future generations. It was a monument to remind them of what happened right here. What happened here in this River Jordan? That God had delivered his people into a land that he had promised them after all these years of bondage in Egypt, after these 40 years wandering around in the desert because they didn't trust God and obey him when they were at Kadesh Barnea the first time and didn't cross because 10 of the 12 were afraid of the size of the warriors in that country, in this country. So they wandered for 40 years in the desert. And then God delivered them. And in this deliverance is the plain gospel of Jesus Christ. It is plain and simple. They weren't there with buckets trying to bail out the river. They weren't trying to build a bridge. They weren't building a boat. They were trusting and obeying God. We talked about this generation of Israelites that spent their entire life, all but two, in the wilderness. And what happened every day in the wilderness? Well, they got manna from heaven to eat, didn't they? That's how they were sustained in a desert that doesn't really contain any food, anything to provide life. There were no wells dug out there. There was no water out there except that God provided the water out of a traveling rock. They had seen these miracles. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. They had seen it. However many days and nights are in 40 years, and I hadn't calculated it, but that's a lot of times they've seen these miracles. They trusted God, and they obeyed him. Exactly what God told Joshua and Joshua told them to do, they did it. They obeyed God. This was a sign, and we see in verse 6, this sign, verse 5 says, "And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes, 12, of the children of Israel." And here's why. "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord." When it passed over Jordan, when what passed over Jordan? The ark of the covenant. The waters, of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel for several generations, for 1,000 years. It says forever, doesn't it? Forever. Those 12 stones still exist, don't they? They certainly do. Because they are a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. These stones spoke of the goodness and the power of God that he exercised on Israel's behalf here at the Jordan River. But it's much deeper than that. It goes much further than that. These stones are a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And no, we're not just talking about the nation Israel. We're talking about the spiritual Israel. You and I, who are born, who have been quickened, as we read in our bulletin, quickened by God, made alive. It is a memorial. Israel had passed through that river of death. And now, as a type, they are on resurrection ground. They're in the promised land now. Now, we studied before and talked about how the fact that they entered the promised land, it didn't mean that they didn't sin anymore. It didn't mean that they didn't have to fight and struggle to live this life in this promised land that God had given them, because they did. And we're certainly going to, Lord willing, read and study about these battles and how God fought for them. And when they trusted Him and obeyed Him, they were successful every single time. And when they did not trust His word, what He said, enough to obey Him, then He allowed them to be defeated at certain battles, didn't He? The same is true with us in our life. The judgment laid behind them. I want you to see that this morning. They passed through that river, and that river was behind them now. Certainly they had access to the other side of Jordan because God stood in the midst of that river in the symbol, the sign of the Ark of the Covenant, and the waters could not touch them. Even as we talked earlier this morning about the love of God, we cannot be separated from that. Death cannot touch you. It cannot touch you. Death to a believer is simply a separation to a wonderful promised land with God, where there is no sin, where there be no more battles, because the battle will have been won. Now, the river lay behind them. That judgment lay behind them. What does that mean? Well, God has brought you through the River Jordan. Yes, there's a lot of songs and a lot of talk about we're going to cross that river one day. And into heaven we are. It's going to be like crossing the river. But you have already crossed the Jordan. God has delivered you from your previous life. And He has delivered you into this new life where you are spiritually alive, you see. You're walking a spiritual life today because Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He's already stood in the middle of death. He defeated death, didn't He? And because of what He's done on the cross of Calvary and defeating death, hell, and the grave, none of them can touch you. You are safe, you see. Through Jesus Christ, you have crossed the Jordan into eternal life. The judgment's behind you now. What do you mean by that? I mean that you are justified in the sight of God. Think about that. You're pretty special to God, aren't you? He loves you a great deal, doesn't He? Yes, Jesus Christ hung on that cross and paid for your sins. That uncrossable river is behind you on your journey. See that this morning. These little skirmishes that we're going through in this life, these little problems that we are being taught by and educated by God, they can't touch you. Because you have eternal life bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. Oh, He stood in your place. Praise God if you know that this morning. If you don't, won't you believe it? Trust and obey Him. Oh, He's the faithful God. You will never have to back up and cross that Jordan. You will never have to pay the price of life for your sin. That's what was due. Because Jesus Christ has already paid the price. Now, this memorial, it was that this may be a sign among you, verse 6, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do you mean by these stones? What mean you by these stones? And I want us to see that these stones, this monument of stones, represented the salvation of God's people. This book, God's Word, is a memorial of what God has done in saving His people. And we still have it, don't we? This is a memorial, a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? If our children ask us, what does this book mean? Well, it's our responsibility to tell them exactly what it means, isn't it? And I'm not just talking about our personal physical children. I'm talking about everybody in this world. The children of the fathers. The new generation, the younger generation, those coming up, the children. This Bible is settled forever in heaven. What did he say about those 12 stones? They were a memorial for how long? Verse 7. The end of verse 7 says forever. Forever. This is a testimony of God and how He saved His people. And how He's still saving His people, you see. How is it done? The children ask and the fathers tell. That's how. Verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. So he set up 12 stones in the river, 12 stones on the other side of the river. It's significant that in verse 9 it says Joshua set these up. They weren't just thrown in a pile. No, they were arranged. And I don't know what their arrangement was. But I know that it were arranged by the direction of God through Joshua. And so I know that whatever that shape was, whatever that stack appeared like, it gave honor and glory to God who delivered His people. I can promise you that. This book has been set up by God, and it's set up in a perfect and precise arrangement by God the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, this book brings honor and glory to God, not man, in any place in it. It doesn't bring honor and praise to man. It tells the truth about the power and the spiritual energy that man has without God. They're non-existent, you see. Drowned in the river of destruction is where we would be without God to deliver us. It is our responsibility when the children ask to tell them what this book means. To tell them of their condition without God. To tell them that their only hope is a daysman, one that stood in between them and God and the righteous wrath and condemnation of God against sin. That He is their only hope. That He did walk and live a perfect life. And so He met the demands of God the Father for a propitiation, for someone to pay the price and to stand in our place. He shed His blood, and that's how God is pleased with you today as you walk the spiritual life He's given you, because He sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Ark of the Covenant, you see. It was God's presence. We're going to see God's presence just a little bit further in this account when we see the captain of the Lord's host appear. And we're going to see that it's God, that it's Jesus Christ that went ahead of, in front of, before Joshua, and all these thousands of men, warriors that he talked about a while ago, the tribe, the half the tribe of Manasseh. We're going to see God's presence in the delivery of his people, just as we see it today. If anyone is delivered from the sinful ways of the flesh, the sinful ways of this life, it's because of the presence of God. We're going to see that this captain of the Lord's host tells Joshua to take his shoes off because he's standing on holy ground. And we know there's only one thing that makes holy ground, and that's the presence of God. The holy ground that Jesus spoke of when he talked about the parable of the sower, you remember that? That holy ground, that was the presence of God in the heart. That's the seed that grows. Oh, we're responsible to tell the story, aren't we? We're responsible to point to this memorial of how God saved sinners and how he always has. He's always been the strength and the power. You remember John the Baptist? He was at the River Jordan, and some came to be baptized of him that he perceived as not truly seeking God. Some of the religious leaders of that time. And you remember he told them, he said, don't think that just cause you're Jews, just cause you're children of Abraham, that you're saved. And he said, God could of these stones raise up children to Abraham. You remember that? Could he have been pointing to those 12 stones on the side of the River Jordan? He could have been. Do I know that? No. But it certainly lines up, doesn't it? And that is how God saves his people. Through what that monument of 12 stones represented. God going before man, paying the price, becoming the propitiation for our sins. Oh, that we would point to the memorial, that we would point to that which shows that salvation is of the Lord and him alone.